in view of the moment of our student leaders and our students being away this weekend, I thought it would be good to take opportunity to talk about the family and to look and unpack God's intention of blessing coming upon the family. And so regardless of what station in life you're in this morning, the principles still apply. How many of y'all know that God is into family? He's the architect of the family. It was His idea, that institution. That was God's idea. And so we could certainly begin with creation in the beginning with Adam and Eve and build out the wonder and beauty of the idea of God calling two people together by His design for His purpose when He blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." But I want us to actively bring our faith to the table this morning by starting with the person Abraham. As you know, Abraham is the father of faith, and he is the one that God so clearly cut covenant with to begin a new nation of people after the fall and after the flood. So if we can join today in Genesis 12, we're going to start there and unpack this a little bit. Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from the relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so shall you be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the ones who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be" what? "Will be blessed." All the families of the earth would be blessed. Would be what? Would be blessed. Would be blessed. Now, the context here is all those in you. All those in you. In other words, your line, your family line, the Jewish nation. Or of those that are of the faith of Abraham. Now, we are of Abraham, are we not? Anyone exercise faith in Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as Redeemer this morning? If you have, you are of the line of Abraham. You've been grafted in, even though you are Gentile with your pork chop eating self. You are still by faith, through grace, grafted in to that tree, grafted into that line by faith. So it's not merely the biological lineage, it's those that approach God by faith. Even the Jewish people have to still approach God and take Jesus by faith. And through Christ, the veil is removed. And so we are of the seed of Abraham. And everything we receive from the Lord is indeed by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so we are of the same faith. So the bigger point today is that God wants, and it is His intention, that the family would be blessed. That the family would be blessed. We see carnage all around us. Possibly you're the product of carnage or pain, but we can begin afresh, trusting God as Abraham did, to build something out, even if it begins with our generation. And that's the hope for everyone today. Regardless of what was served to you, through Jesus, the curse stops. And you can begin a brand new nation, as it were, due to trusting God as Abraham did. He didn't know where he was going. He broke away. He followed the will and the word of the Lord, looking for the city that had foundations, whose builder and architect was the Lord. So knowing this, we fight for it, we contend for it, we believe for it. It is our inheritance. So I want us to set our sights with great expectation and anticipation for this. So, blessed. What does that exactly mean? I know in the South we say, you know, bless you, or people say all the time, my sweet wife, one of her favorite adages is, well, bless your heart, you know. And, you know, but what does it exactly mean other than a Southern declaration, blessed? Well, the dictionary says divinely or supremely favored, of or enjoying happiness, enjoying the bliss of heaven. There are a lot of references to being favored by the Lord with multiple ramifications. It's the opposite of curse. The curse was broken through Jesus, we know. For lack of better terms, many of the secular dictionaries, they equate it to good fortune, highly favored or fortunate as by divine grace, held in veneration, to make happy, to make successful, to prosper in temporal concerns as we are blessed with peace and plenty, set apart to consecrate, to esteem, to enjoy. Anyone want to sign up for any of this? Just curious. Spiritual happiness, endowed with divine favor and protection. Anyone want a little bit of that? Enviable position that makes long and large His grace and benefits. We see the term for blessing found 600 times in the Old Testament alone. Who is the architect of the family? Say God. God. Therefore, He has a plan and a promised land for each family to contend for and enter into. Right now, I just want you to thank God for your family. Just thank God right now. Just where you are. Just thank Him just for a moment for your parents. Thank Him for your family. Now thank God for what He's going to do through you. Just thank Him in advance. Say, thank You for what You're going to do through my line. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. We see this term for blessing found 600 times in the Old Testament. He has a plan and a promised land for each family to contend for and enter into. We get a vision, a blueprint of what we believe God wants for our family, and we contend for that by faith. In this blueprint, it starts with the objective Word of God that is for all of us, and beyond that, there is a subjective, nuanced identity of who God's called us to be, like the 12 tribes of Israel. Objectively, there's something we all lay hold of. But there's also some distinctives that God wants us to lay a hold of. There are specific promises for the willing and obedient in Scripture. Where we see the blessing of God is offered, we go for it. Where we see the landmines of curses, where they lay, we sidestep and we cut them off. There are blessings for those that approach God by faith. We take them by faith. Where we see the landmines and the pitfalls, we reject it. We cut them off. We have a record here that God gave Israel in Deuteronomy 28. He said, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He has given you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, and the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. That's an inheritance for us to contend for. I know it sounds like majestic, flowery Bible rhetoric, but it's actually real. For the nation of Israel, God, the architect of the family and of the nation, was very specific when he said, I put life and death before you. Choose life. If you align yourself with me, oh, how I want to bring divine favor. I want the walls of protection. I want my increase to come to your account. I just want things to just align and work right for you. A good father does that. I want it to go well with you. I have no greater desire but that you would prosper and that all would go well with you, that you'd be in good health even as your soul prospers. I want you inside and outside experiencing the favor of the King. We're children of the King. He's given us the kingdom, the rights to come to the table and to feast on the bounty and the spoils of his victory. You know he won a victory, right? The enemy had us. Jesus defeated him. And he's granted the spoils to his bride. And he invites us to walk with him and to partake of the spoils, the heavenly spoils, together with him. When something good happens to you, don't you want to broaden the circle and call someone up and invite them along? Sometimes when people come into money, the first thing they do is invite someone out to eat. In other words, I wasn't even expecting this bonus. Dinner's on me. And they're lifted, and then all boats are floated due to someone who's blessed, as it were. God wants us to pull up and to be blessed. And so here we have 14 verses of blessing to those who walk upright before God. I don't even want to get into the curses. It's too discouraging. But verse 15 all the way through to the end of the chapter lists all the curses. I mean, dear me, who would sign up? Who in their right mind would sign up for it? I mean, everything goes sideways. Everything breaks down. Plagues and sickness and just, I mean, who again in their right mind would sign up for any of it? And so verses 15 all the way to 68, it's real dark. It's real negative here. It deals with curses that people put themselves under due to disobedience. People say, oh God, he is just selecting and helping some and discarding others. No, we place ourselves by faith under that blessing. But it goes all the way to the end of the chapter. Wow. Where your feet, or where you feel one of these curses rather, is slipped through, you go to work, you reverse it, and you cut it out. We're vigilant, watchful, prayerful. As husband and wife and children unite in agreement, they begin to reflect the glory of God, thus leaving lasting legacy. God wants to raise up the family to be a praise in the earth. He wants to raise up the family to be a praise. It doesn't mean that she's perfect. Doesn't mean the family is perfect. But it means there is a reflection of the goodness of the Lord upon it. He wants to raise up the family. The family can come under attack, we know. That's why decades ago, Dr. James Dobson threw up the national spotlight on his life sentiment, concern of focus. Where? On the family. We need a focus there. God wants to make your family a blessing. Wants to make your family a blessing. He wants to bless you and make you a blessing. God started with a man who believed God. That's all Abraham did. He wasn't special. He just believed God. What ignited the blessing? He just believed God. And from that one man, for thousands of years, there's been a trickle-down effect. There's been a trickle-down. I don't know about you, but I want to get in that fountain. It's like, trickle on, baby. I mean, trickle down. Sign me up. One man in covenant with God, the trickle-down begins. The trickle-down can begin with you. It can begin with me, regardless, again, of what's been handed us in the way of family dysfunction or curses. The trickle-down blessing can now begin with you, with you. Say with me. Say, it can begin with me. See, you can be a dispenser of the blessing. It's all by our choices. It's all based on our alignment. Do we choose life? Do we choose death? If we choose life, all these blessings, Deuteronomy 28, come upon us. Sometimes when the child is saved first, it's a trickle-up effect. As parents are also saved. We've seen that happen in this church where it's the children that get saved. And then it trickles up, then it trickles sideways, then it goes to uncles, then it goes to nephews and nieces. But the blessing can't stay contained. It's gonna, by the nature of blessing, it's gonna help. It's gonna be generous. It's gonna leaven. Are we here? But the blessing begins with us. We can begin the sanctified legacy today. I want to highlight four roles as we go after blessed families. Highlight four roles. First, I want to highlight the role of intercession. Secondly, the role of protection. Thirdly, the role of security and provision. Fourthly, the role of leadership and influence. So first, the role of intercession. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of this responsibility and privilege. Nothing moves obstacles like prayer. I mean, nothing. We huff and puff in other arenas of our life, and many times it's wasted energy. It's wasted when we worry. It's wasted when we fret. It's wasted when we take up carnal weaponry to fight spiritual issues. They're not congruent, but there is nothing like the impact and the effect of the effectual fervent prayer of a man or a woman in faith. It's an investment. There's no other way to look at it. It is an investment. When you pray for your family, you are loving them and you are investing in them. I mean, it's one thing to set up a trust for your children. It's another thing to set up and invest prayer in them and over your family. It yields sweet dividends. God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, he reaps. And when we sow, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, walls go up, protection comes around, favor is released, the kingdom comes, he's not mocked. It's the most loving investment we can give. So much is done and accomplished in this invisible realm. For you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I cannot tell you how many times I have counseled someone with family conflict, and I've counseled them, look, listen, don't worry about it. Look, right here. Look, do your battling in private and release favor in public. Do your battling in private, in the prayer closet. Shut the door. Go in there and do business. Big business. You work, you labor, you travail, you bind, you loose, you quote scripture, you battle, you worship, you thank God. Then you come out of that context smiling and releasing peace to your situation and your surrounding. Many battle in the natural, making matters worse. We do know that we don't fight fire with fire, right? I mean, even theologian Barney Fife and Andy Griffith taught us you don't fight fire with fire. It makes the matter worse. We don't cast out the devil with the devil, although we try. We bring human instrumentality to spiritual issues, and it can inflame it and not help it. But see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. They're not physical, but they're divinely powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. Do your battling in private, release favor in public. We can reduce a lot of our arguing with people if we'll take that same head of steam and just go in our room and shut the door. If you got something and you're in conflict, you can take that energy and head of steam. There's nothing wrong with anger as long as you don't sin. Anger and sin not. You know, you take that angst, you shut the door, and you pray it through, and you pray yourself happy. Then when you come out, you ain't got nothing but love, just sweet love. And then you've untied the hands of God to deal with the situation many times. It doesn't mean there's not a need for gentle confrontation on occasion, but many times things can be averted just by going into the prayer closet. Let it be the habit of going to our knees, going into that secret place. Are we here? It takes the same amount of energy and more to do the other, you see. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not worldly. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the wise, prudent man, Proverbs 21 says, scales the city of the mighty and pulls down the strongholds in which they trust. We take our battle in the prayer closet. We take our battle into the invisible. This is where change truly takes place. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. How many of you believers wrestle? Ever been in a little bit of warfare? The spirit realm is real, but he always leads us in his triumphs through Christ Jesus. He's given us his name, his blood, his cross, his word. He's given us everything we need to succeed in spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So the battle for the family is a spiritual one, and our weapons are in fact spiritual. Therefore, let's pick them up. Let's pick them up. How many of y'all know praise does so much more than complaint? That's why God put Judah on the front. I mean, can you imagine, we find out, you know, ISIS has come to Raleigh, and all of a sudden, you know, Governor McCrory calls up Laron. Laron, what you doing? I need you to get the keyboard. I want you to strap around your neck. I want you to go out and I want you to jam and worship God. I mean, these are unconventional weapons. There's just something about doing things God's way that puts the enemy to flight. We need to pick these things up. We get on our knees and we fight. We fight. We fight. You have an issue right now. You don't like it. I don't like this situation. Fight. It's like King Arthur. Fight. Fight for Camelot. Fight. Fight. Get on your knees and fight. We don't have to be passive. You're not going to take up carnal weapons and go start a conflict and strive. The servant of the Lord must not strive, the scripture says. But in the prayer closet, you morph into a lion and you lay hold of the horns of the altar and it's roar. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here. He's given us the ability to bind and loose and to take authority. We don't just sit and watch things happen and go, that sure is sad, you know, or someone will say, yeah, but that's just them being them. That's their will. You have power over their will. The Bible says that the hearts of kings are in God's hand. He can turn them like a water course any which way he desires. Even the stubborn will, God can melt it down. Pray. Fight. Reformer John Knox was so powerful in prayer that even while he was in prison in the late 1540s for supporting the Protestant Reformation in Scotland, that Mary, Queen of Scots, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England. In other words, that man knew how to get a hold of God. And when he was an instrument in the Protestant Reformation, she realized, I can deal with a lot, but I cannot deal with that man praying. And then they imprison him. It's great. Their prayer life's just going to go up. Imprison Paul. Great. He'll just write the New Testament. I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England. Divine power, divine power, divine power. The Apostle Paul, praying for the Ephesians, said and declared in Ephesians 3:14-21, he said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, but we first have to ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, the context of this prayer of Paul's was actually spiritual family. So these principles also apply to spiritual family. We have a natural family, but God also places us in spiritual family. Again, verses 14 and 15, Paul said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family, spiritual, in heaven and on earth, derives its name." Christian, the family name. Protect it. We protect the family name. So again, number one, the role of intercession, standing in the gap between the way things are and the way things should be. Fight, contend, pray. Y'all, this is the stuff of family. The making of family. One believer can help sanctify the rest. Number two, the role of protection. 1 Corinthians 13:7 tells us that love protects. The role of protection. Hebrews 11, first part of verse 7, reads, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family." Interesting. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. I want you to catch this. Noah protected his family not by being a macho he-man. I'm going to protect my family. Not by being a he-man. Noah protected his family by obeying God. Hello. We want to protect our family? Obey God. Obey God. It's good to think about it in these terms. For our obedience has consequences, and our lack of obedience has consequences. In holy fear, he built an ark to save. What are we building? Noah was warned about things not yet seen. Don't you know he was tempted to feel like a nerd? Have you ever tried to pull your family together in devotions before? Or you're on a trip? We're going to pray. You know, do you ever just feel that? I'm trying to provide spiritual leadership. And I'm not even saying it does that. But, I mean, he here, it says, he was warned about things not yet seen. It means that he was a spiritual man. How could he know about something coming to pass that had never happened before? Because he walked with God. How did he know? Because he walked with God. Because he did, he heard God. Because he did, he therefore protected his family. Hear God about your spouse. Hear God about your children. Then protect them. Noah heard. Noah acted. Again, he probably felt like the family nerd because it had never rained before. It had never flooded before. He acted nonetheless. He protected nonetheless. Being temporarily misunderstood is a small price to pay. Sometimes God is willing to be misunderstood by us in order to get us from point A to point B, to get us into our destiny. So love protects. Jesus himself is our kinsman redeemer. In the Old Testament, a kinsman redeemer was a relative who, according to the law of Moses, had the privilege and responsibility to act on behalf of a relative in trouble, a relative in need, a relative in danger. And of course, we all know the story of Ruth and Boaz. The Hebrew term for kinsman redeemer designates one who delivers or rescues. They redeem, they vindicate, they preserve, they restore. Yahweh was Israel's redeemer, but we too are called upon to defend and to protect. He models for us the proper heart and posturing. The kinsman redeemer restores the rights of disadvantaged family members. Isn't that kind? Isn't that gracious? Likewise, Jesus. He gladly called himself our brother and did the same for us. He purchased our freedom, gave us his name. He's our avenger. Who is our nearest of kin? Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren. He steps in. We're to do the same for our brothers as well, as we're our brother's keeper. Thirdly, the role of security and provision. And again, with each one of these points, they could be unpacked so much further. A lot to say on each. The role of security and provision. God gives us the power to create means, does he not? It comes from God. God gives the power. God gives the wherewithal. God gives the power to create means, to create wealth, to bring forth provision. We're in covenant. And again, because of that, there's a trickle down. Because he's a provider, Jehovah Jireh, because he's a provider, he grants us the ability to provide. Matter of fact, all these points start with God. Because Jesus is an intercessor, we are to be an intercessor. Because God protects, we are to protect. Because God provides, we are able to provide. Because God is a great leader, we are to lead. It starts with God. As you walk with God, he multiplies the bread and the fish. His covenant allows for us to be sustained in life and to sustain others, to bless others, to help undergird, to underwrite others, to take up needs, to supply the lender, not the borrower. I'm just going to push through these a bit. Fourthly, the role of leadership and influence. The role of leadership and influence. You may not think of yourself in that way, but we all carry a measure of influence, whether we want to or not. But just modeling. A lot happens merely by modeling and by living the faith that we cherish. Modeling, example, the desire to bring forth godly progeny. God puts that in us, even as he's a loving father who cares for his children, who cares for the well-being of our children. That desire comes from him. We know that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The nanny of Winston Churchill, Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, George Herbert Walker Bush and Barbara Bush. I mean, many children. We mainly know about George W. and Jeb. We know about them the most. But I love how Jeb several times has referred to his dad as the greatest man alive. And when he says it, I mean, you can just feel it in his bones. He really believes it. He said, my dad is the greatest man alive. And you're just like, I believe that. He believes that. I mean, what a tribute. I mean, you can feel it as he declares it. The Proverbs 31 woman, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Again, influence. John Maxwell relates leadership merely to influence. We can model Christ, virtue, godliness, honor, integrity, strength, grace, and forgiveness. And on the list goes. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15-16, he said, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father in the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. That's a pretty bold admonition. You have many tutors, many teachers, not many fathers. I've become a father to you in the gospel. Therefore, imitate me. Paul had influence in these churches. He had influence, his love for them. He worked among them with his own hands. He served them. He said, I have the right to lord it over you, yet for the sake of love, rather, I appeal to you. And they loved him dearly. Great, great influence. Many times we don't have to be intimidated by the notion of leader, being a great leader. Look, just be a great follower. Your influence will show forth. Your influence will show forth. Godliness is powerful. Virtue is powerful. Integrity is powerful. Honesty, the fruit of the Spirit, they are powerful. And they translate. They do translate. In closing here in a moment, I just, it's obvious that any hard work is good work. But I want you to listen to the legacy of the Puritan preacher from the 1700s, Jonathan Edwards, and what many of his known 1,394 descendants turned out to be. He and his wife, Sarah, left a godly legacy to 11 children, from whence came 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 75 Army and Navy officers, 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 authors of prominence, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 80 public office holders, 3 United States senators, and 1 United States vice president. That came out of the loins of a godly man and a godly woman, godly progeny, and the blessing. The trickle down. And it's not even the occupation. It's the quality of life. It's the character. It's what they represent. But there's a trickle down. Make no mistake about it. The blessing of the Lord marks a life. And it marks a family. It's different. That's why Paul talked about how the Gentiles would provoke the Jews to jealousy. There is a marked difference. When I was in Israel and was looking over the border into Lebanon, it was amazing to me. I was standing in fertile Israel, and then I would look and everything looked like a barren wasteland right at the border. I mean, there's just something about the touch of God you can't reason away. I mean, God says, I'm going to bless Israel. You would be smart and wise to bless Israel too and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we're to bless what God blesses. And when God is determined to bless something, he's going to bless it and he's not going to take it away. I continually marvel about old Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was a rascal, a surplanter, a deceiver. I thought he's not worthy. He didn't qualify. I mean, you talk about con man that's been going on in the news this weekend. And he was the ultimate con man on steroids. But God's blessing came on him just because of Abraham, just because of Isaac. And when God determines to bless something, that's it. In a stubborn way, he bears down. And he begins to validate. And he begins to loosen and release favor. There's a marked difference, you see. So what we do is we start at the starting point of where we are. We see what's been handed to us. And we evaluate the land. We see and evaluate where God is moving. We also are honest with where there are points of carnage and where the enemy has had a foothold. And we don't despair. We just determined, all right, starting with me, I'm going to bring the blessing down as it goes forward from here on out. I'm going to forgive those things that have happened to me in a wrong way. There are things I'm proud of. There are things maybe you're not proud of. But starting from here, I want to create a gusher for the next generation. Are we here? We can reverse the curse. We don't want to remain a victim. Well, this was never done for me, and I didn't quite have this given to me. That ought to build up a head of steam to say, bless God, whatever was not done for me, I am even more determined that I'm going to do that for mine, and I'm going to do that for the next generation. The curse stops here. The bloodline checks it right here. are we here? And it's like, I'm not going to allow the carnage to go any further. I'm not going to beat myself. I'm not going to beat those that may have served a less than fortunate hand. But I can sign up for it today and allow the shower of the grace of God, His provision, His protection, His favor, His bounty, His smile. It's an X factor. I can't explain it when He just chooses to kiss you. It's just different. It's just different. It makes sense. It's not logical, but you're set apart. You're consecrated. And it's things just line up a certain way. It doesn't mean we don't have trials. Sometimes we have more, but even throughout that trial, the blessing of God and the encouragement of the Lord is still there. But there's a marked difference. And we are determined. I will be a dispenser of grace. I will freely forgive. I will freely pardon. I will freely love largely. I, by the grace of God, will align with God's decrees and commands. I'm going to sign up for everything in Deuteronomy 28. I want to be a spiritual hog. I want all I can get. I want to be greedy in a godly way for as much of God as I can have. The 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years we have in the earth. I want that. Not only on my own life, but I want it to wash off onto my children and my children's children. And we are setting the thermostat for a new generation to come forth. And we are setting the generation, come on, for generations to come. He's faithful to 1,000 generations. And so, yes, the family is under attack, but that's not the end of the equation. He's stubbornly committed to it. In the very introduction, God to Abraham in Genesis 12, He said, through you, son, after the fall, after the flood, He began to raise up a nation. Through you, Abram, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If we're of his seed, if we're of the faith of Abraham. So we want to say, yeah, I'll take that. I want that. What do? We have a role in intercession. What do? We have a role of protection. What do? We have a role of security and provision. What do? We have a role and something to say about leadership and influence. We can be in the yoke. We can be in the qualifying position for God to help us and watch Him reverse the curse. Watch Him bless and sustain. Watch prayer after prayer after prayer get answered. Just watch Him, and all praise and honor goes to God. And we're not confused where it comes from. We know where it comes from. That's what produces the worship. That's, you know, where we just get alone in our prayer and we just cut a jig. I know this came from your hand. There's no way this happened by happenstance. This is not mere coincidence. You scooted up everything just right to make this happen and to make this happen, to make this happen. And even when the knuckle-headed enemy gets in, God can turn that for good. You know, so we don't obsess with that. Even that, you say, yeah, but what about all the years the locusts have eaten? That's not what the scripture says. It says He restores the years the locusts have eaten. You say, my years have been eaten. Well, that's not the scripture. He restores the years. But make a demand on that. Make a demand on that. So you say, the enemy, God uses him for his own purpose. He's created. God's uncreated. I mean, God hardened Pharaoh's heart for his own purpose. God will use the devil for his own purpose. Look at Joseph, thrown in the pit, betrayed, rejected, left for dead. God promoted him from the pit to the palace. And then when his brothers came before him in the year of famine, and he revealed his identity, and they were quivering like, I can't believe it. I knew we shouldn't have thrown him in the pit. You know, it was you. No, it was you. And they're sitting there going, I cannot believe it. He said, fear not. It wasn't you, but God who sent me ahead of you to save a nation. He takes even people's mistakes, man's mess, man interferes, man's instrumentality, man's perversion, man's selfishness, and where the devil gets in there. As long as we're aligned, as long as we're of the faith of Abraham, he can even take that. Let God be true and every man a liar. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So if you have a pile of rubbish, build on that. If you feel like I've got ashes everywhere, build on that. 2 days after 9/11 and our team got in Winnebagoes and drove up to Manhattan, as they were crossing the bridge into Manhattan, the billows of smoke were coming up from Ground Zero, and God spoke to Ron Lewis's heart, out of these ashes I will build a mighty church. In other words, we can't trump God. It's like whether things are good, whether things are bad, it doesn't matter. We bring the good and the bad and the ugly all to Him and say, here, fix it. Breathe on it. Create. Connect the pieces. You look at it and you're like, I wouldn't want it here. It's like trying to clean your garage. You open the door and you're like, nope. I'll hire somebody to do that. Well, that's what God does. He gets in there and He makes it work. He makes it work. Therefore, there's hope wherever we are in the equation. There's hope. The good things we celebrate, the things that weren't, we redeem. And we determine, I'll make sure that out of that painful place, virtue will come forth. Brokenness, virtue proceeding from a wound. He's committed to the family. We've got nothing but promises, nothing but hope. If there's some people that aren't quite where they need to be in relation to your immediate world, it's all right. Prayer, protection, provision, influence. God's going to help a man. God's going to help a man. It's not over till He says it's over. You look at Jonathan Edwards, you're like, dear me, dear me. The goal is not to be a doctor, that's not the goal as the profession, but the point is there was something about that seed. We're of Abraham's seed, and there's a replication. There's a trickle down. How many of y'all want to sign up for that fountain? It's like, I want to get my head, but I mean, the water's good. Y'all stand to your feet, would you? The water's good. The water's good. We're just going to bring everything to them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're going to say today, we are of Abraham, bless God, and we're tenacious with what God promised to him. That's for us. Because we're of the faith of Abraham. What He gave to him, it's ours. It belongs to us. It's ours. Say out of your mouth, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. The curse is reversed. And blessing comes my way. Through faith and the goodness and grace of my Lord Jesus. I'm in a place of blessing because I choose to follow and love Him. Whatever's not presently right shall not intimidate me. I bring it to God. I put it under His grace. I'm asking for His favor to be at work in that area. And I will not stop until He makes my family a praise in the earth. A praise in the earth. A praise in the earth. Now, Father, I just ask You for that fountain, that shower, that trickle down, Lord, that comes down from the head, even Christ, the firstborn of many brethren. Lord, I pray for that favor that's so tangible, that blessing, that protection. Lord, will things just happen to work? Lord, the things that are broken are being fixed. Lord, the bruising and the wounding is being healed. You are our kinsman redeemer. Lord, You're the one that vindicates. You're the one that pays off the debt. You're the one that's the big brother that goes before us to make it all right. And You are building a spiritual family of affection around the world who call themselves by Your name, that are bonded together due to love. Love without hypocrisy. And Lord, we thank You. It's a good life. And Lord, it's a wonderful life. Lord, we would have no other. And Lord, You've provided all of this through Jesus. And we say yes to it today. And Lord, in any degree that we've agreed with the enemy, we fall out of agreement with that today. And we choose to say yes to every promise. Lord, where we've been hopeless in areas, where we've been discouraged in areas, we just turn that right now. And we just allow hope to beat again and desire and faith for what can be to bubble up again, oh God, in the name of the Lord. Do your wonderful work. Visit us, we pray, as a spiritual house, as a spiritual family, and all the amazing families represented here, oh God. Visit them with amazing grace and favor and blessing. Create a deluge, we ask you, oh God. We're asking you. We're asking you through Abraham. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift your hands to the Lord just for a little while. Let's don't unplug quite yet. Just thank you. Thank you for mending and fixing and adjusting and aligning, even aligning our own soul, even aligning our own expectation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Again, regardless of what station in life you're in today, this is for you. God's going to build an amazing legacy from your life and out of your loins in Jesus' name. We bless you today. If you need prayer on any level, we're here for you. If you just want to sit and marinate.